Up the House Committee on Education for April 20th, 2015. Welcome, everybody. And today is the last day that we have to move bills and go through different things. So to paraphrase Michael Corleone, today we settle all family business. Okay, so some of the bills I would like to announce that we will not have a public hearing or work session on the following: House Bill 2673, House Bill 2967, House Bill 3071, House Bill 3073, House Bill 3074, House Bill 3363, and House Bill 3389, and House Bill 2712. Get them down? Okay.
Is there anything left?
Oh, yes. We have many things left.
Yes.
Okay, so with that, we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3072. Richard, if you could read a summary.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3072, the committee's been asked to consider the Dash 2 amendments. The Dash 2s replace their introduced measure. They establish the Connecting Education to Careers account, declare that the programs related to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM, education shall be funded from that account. They continuously appropriate monies from the account to the Oregon Department of Education. They establish criteria for disbursements from the account, and they require a biennial report to the Legislative Assembly. They also detail the contents of that report and declare an emergency effective July 1, 2015. There is no subsequent referral on the introduced measure, but the committee has been asked, in consideration of the Dash 2s, to move the measure to Ways and Means, if they should move the measure today.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Representative Smith and Representative Reardon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee. This is a...
If you could identify yourself for the record, please, sir.
I wish we did that part. Representative Jeff Reardon, District 48. And what you have before you today is actually a collection of policies having to do with career technical education and STEM education. I'd like to give you just a little bit of the history. Some of the policies came as part of the governor's framework, and a couple of them were bills that I had advanced and actually were passed out of other committees. And so those are the policies have been well thought out. They've been actually discussed with an outside committee or work group, if you will, that was partly made up of the Oregon Business Council, the Oregon Business Administration, and our Oregon Business Association. And so there's been a lot of committee work. We've had people from TSPC, Department of Ed, Work Systems, Inc. Everybody has been involved. We've been talking and working up the policies. And what we're trying to do here is just get them into a package. The original idea, and the one that Representative Smith will be talking about in just a minute, is to have funding and then this package of policies. The funding part of it may require some additional conversations, and so I just want you to understand there's a long history, the amount of work that's really gone into bringing together this complete set of policies. And you have a spreadsheet in front of you that kind of outlines the different policies that are in the bill, and that spreadsheet has been developed through this series of meetings that I've talked about. So some of the things you're probably familiar with, the CTE revitalization grants, the STEM hubs, and other things. And I didn't bring my spreadsheet down, so but you have it in front of you. So there's the thing I think is important to remember about all of these is what we're really trying to do is provide a series of classes that kids get excited about. Thank you. The kids get excited about and will help prepare them for high demand, high paying jobs. And that's true on any of these policies. So other things that I didn't mention, so there's the grant bill. Other issues that have come up that are reflected on here are where are we going to get the next set of teachers for these CTE classes? And so we've talked about that as well. Anyway, and one that's really critical, the Pathways Fund. That is to provide operational money for the CTE STEM classes, a little bit of extra funding for those classes because they usually require extra supplies. I usually refer to my old wood shop days and needed to buy some wood. A little more expensive to run that kind of class than your average poetry class. So this is gives you a pretty good overview of what we're trying to do. And just one brief comment. You know, it's great that we're doing this. You know, kids get excited about school. You know, we're going to prepare them for the careers. But it's to me, this is an economic issue for this state. We have, in higher ed, we've been talking a lot about the number of jobs that are available, and we have, like, one applicant for every three jobs. And we just aren't preparing enough people to fill the needs. The other thing, on a lot of these CTE-type careers, they can be making $70,000, $80,000 a year on this type of a job, and they don't end up with a lot of college debt. So a lot of good economic reasons for doing supporting these concepts. If you have any questions, or I'm not trying to spend too much time on this, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We'll wait for the Representative Smith, and then we'll ask questions of both of you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Oregon State Representative, and I have the distinct pleasure of representing District 57, which is over in eastern Oregon, and it encompasses the communities of Milton Freewater and Hermiston and Stanfield and Umatilla, Morrow County, Gillum County, Sherman County, and the very, very, very best parts of Wasco County.
And your name is, sir?
And my name is Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you.
I also represent the Port of Morrow, the Port of Umatilla, Port of Arlington, and portions of the Port of the Dalles. And the reason I share that with you is because industry is important to these folks. These are economic tools that are in statute that the legislature has created to help create jobs. And as I go and visit with these port managers and with the industry folks that reside in the port, the one message I hear over and over is the need for funding of career technical education and our STEM programs. Now, I've heard this message, I've had an opportunity to go visit with our schools throughout eastern Oregon, and I've seen the importance. But it really hit home with me the other day, well, about a month ago, when we had our students from all over the state of Oregon doing a CTE day here at the Capitol. And I had an opportunity to watch students from my district, from Hermiston High School, demonstrate a home that they constructed. And these bright students, women and men, not only were using their hands, but they were using their mind as well. And it really instilled in me the importance of these programs. Second, I want to share with you, I saw an opportunity to start working with Representative Reardon when I saw a House bill come across my desk for signature, and I think there were probably 55 members from the House who all said that career technical education is important to them. And so Representative Reardon and I started visiting, and we're grateful for the leadership of the Speaker on this because she said, you two get together and start figuring this out. And so that's what we did. As a good representative shared with you, multiple folks have had an opportunity to participate in the contents of this legislation. First and foremost, I'd share with you that during the summer, professionals involved in education and in industry and business and throughout different sections or sectors came together to put together a package. And most of what you see here today represents that package. We had folks from the Oregon Building Trades Council, Technology Association of Oregon, the STEM Investment Council, Home Builders, AGC, along with a lot of professional folks from the Department of Revenue, Secretary of State's office, Boley, et cetera, all coming to assist us. So, colleagues, what you have before you represents a lot of communication, a lot of conversation about multiple areas that need to be funded within the CTE STEM programs. Now, here's the situation. What's before you is a framework for CTE and STEM. There's no dollars in this. What we're hoping, Madam Chair, is that your committee will give this strong, strong consideration and send it down to Ways and Means where leadership the speaker, the president, and the governor can work through what they feel is the best policy for funding career technical education. I do want to note that in the first year, there's percentages allocated. And you'll notice that 35% of whatever dollars are created will be dedicated to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And that 65% of whatever dollars we allocate will be to career and technical education. This is for this first biennium, but in future bienniums, there will actually be a process in place where both CTE and STEM policy groups will come together and determine what's the best way to allocate those dollars, making sure that the legislature keeps its thumb on this process. I want to conclude by sharing with you just a few thoughts. Your Ways and Means Committee and your leadership at all three areas in the Senate and the House and the governor's office are going to have some difficult choices. There's conversations around gain share. There's conversations around why aren't we just using the general fund to fund this. There's some, and I include myself in this, that believe we need to create a permanent funding stream for career technical education and STEM programs. And so I think at some point in time that conversation is going to continue. And what I'm hoping is when your Ways and Means Committee tries to figure out or does figure out what that best plan is, that you folks will come to Ways and Means and testify to our committee, sharing us with us what your thoughts are. So, Madam Co-Chair, I think the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3072 have been vetted. They've been given strong consideration by multiple folks, by educators, by industry, and we had asked for your strong consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of the panel? Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank you for bringing this forward. I have a particular... I guess it would be best described this way. I know an awful lot of carpenters who are also poets. And as a result, I want to make sure that we understand that the comprehensive education is what I think we want, because we're not just trying to get people who are workers out of our students. We want them to become citizens. We want them to be able to be enjoy themselves as Oregonians, and that includes the arts, and it includes the literature, and it includes all the other things. So, but this is an area that has been neglected, and in fact, in some ways, in some places, it's been intentionally neglected for some schools and some districts, so that we can begin the process of having this as a basic part of our system, not just a special part of our system. I'm looking forward to making sure that we do that. So thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Representative Smith.
Just a quick question. I got a little confused right there at the end, Representative Smith, when you were talking about the advisory committee that was going to be making changes after the first biennium. And I was trying to find that in the amendment that I've got in front of me, and I couldn't quite find that. So what you're saying is that it's an advisory committee that would be working together to bring suggestions to the legislature, to the Department of Ed.
Yeah, really quick here, and I'm on page 7, and there's several references here. I'll try to go through those just very briefly.
You know, the dash twos. The
dash twos.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Dash twos, thank you. on page 7, line 22, the Department of Education, in collaboration with the STEM Investment Council and the committee established under ORS 344-075, shall submit a... So you're going to have let me step back on this. You're going to have one section of these dollars allocated through the STEM Investment Council in partnership with the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have a second with, again, in collaboration with the Oregon Department of Education through the CTE. I think they're called the
Revitalization Grant Committee.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. No. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? I do have one comment. I'm glad that you mentioned the gain share issue, because I know out of Washington County, which a lot of the high tech has landed there, is that in at least one of the proposals out of the Senate, a large chunk of that money is going strictly to CTE. And so it's a funding source, and it's, to me, a stable funding source for CTE to be able to get going, and until you've got everything in place and it's on its way.
Yeah.
So I appreciated you mentioned that.
Madam Chair, I wanted to point out to Boley CTE grant bill on that line, top line, that that also includes money for the career and tech student organizations, which includes FBLA.
Which was just critical for me. That was just so important for me as we looked at the many pieces in this bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you very much. We have a few people signed up. We'll just go down the list. Joel Fisher, John Rakowitz, and Varner Seaman.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, my name is Joel Fisher on behalf of the Oregon Business Association and also the Oregon Business Plan. As I've probably told you a couple of times before, we spent our summer going around the state of Oregon, meeting with local business leaders, local education folks, local economic development professionals about what it is that can be done to turn things around in Eastern Oregon. I'll remind you of the statistics that we've seen from the revenue and the economic forecast from last year, that Oregon's pulling ahead. We're doing pretty well, but you separate out Portland and rural Oregon. Oregon's just holding steady, or some areas still in decline. The number one issue that came up time and again on that was workforce. Students lacking, or people lacking, both the soft skills and the hard skills that they need, and things that are taught in CTE and in STEM classes. I've shared the example of myself, a graduate of Benson High School, in a CTE class I had there when the teacher's counting down the projects due in 3, 2, 1 seconds. And my binder came down just a half second after he said one. He marked me down a full grade, explained to me that, you know, in the real world, there are timelines, you didn't get the job done. And these are real-world skills that that students are learning in career technical education courses and in STEM courses. The other big takeaway from this is starting to look at both CTE and STEM really kind of in the same world. There's a lot of overlap there, and so beginning to look at them as kind of, you know, sort of one of the same thing, even though we still refer to them both often individually. So we're supportive of this framework that we've brought before you. We're supportive of finding robust and permanent funding sources for these programs. We're supportive of bills like Senate Bill 129 with the -4 amendments that would put some money towards this. And we think that any new funding that we find should be in addition to and not instead of general fund, and that the, you know, recognizing the state really does have a commitment to funding these programs. We're not funding them in the same way that our neighbors to the north. I think we're just at about 5% of what the state of Washington is doing. And one more point. Let me see what it was. Drawn a blank. I'll maybe get back to it.
Thank you. You'll remember it by the time.
I'll remember by the time Rakowitz is done.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, John Rakowitz with AGC, Associated General Contractors. We're the largest commercial construction association in the state of Oregon, representing contractors, big, little, small, open union across the entire state. I'm here in that capacity today here, but I'm also here as somebody who's been a part of a coalition. There are many people here today that will testify and that won't are here in the room today. We've been at work at this for at least 5 years now, trying to make career technical education in particular create a real pathway for that for students across the state of Oregon. And I'm also here as a member of the steering committee for the Oregon Business Plan. And this is one of its three top priorities. I don't want to get into the particulars of the bill. I would say ditto to everything that Joel spoke of. We're supportive of all those funding mechanisms. I do want to underscore something he referenced, and that is today, as we sit here, Oregon invests roughly $11 million dedicated to career technical education. Our neighbors to the north, the state of Washington, $384 million. That you know, we haven't even made a down payment yet. And that's the thing I want to underscore. We've worked really hard. We're very appreciative of that coalition. And the coalition includes labor and business and industries of all kinds. So it's not just one little interest group. And here's why it matters more than ever. Our economy has begun to produce really good paying jobs. What's interesting is it doesn't matter whether it's healthcare, construction, my industry, high tech, manufacturing. They all have something in common, and they're highly technical, skilled jobs. that's who's going to get paid well going into the future. And the question is will we make the investments necessary, like our partner to our neighbor to the north? And I just want, I pulled up or had somebody pull up for me, just Googled state of Washington. I'll give you two quotes. This particular finding is from the 2015 workforce training results for Washington secondary CTE. The return on public investment over the lifetime of a student of a secondary CTE completer is $87 to one. Now, if I could get that kind of investment, I probably would be someplace else today. Another report, source, investing in career and technical education yields big returns. Association for Career and Technical Education 2015. In Washington, for every dollar invested in secondary CTE programs, taxpayers receive $9 in revenues and benefits. My point is this. This is an approach and a framework, this bill in particular you're hearing today, 3072-2, is a framework for a set of investments that will return not only for the students, but for the Treasury and for all industries across the state of Oregon. I don't believe there's another issue or an issue that could make a bigger difference over time that's really being discussed that has the kind of support that Representative Smith referred to. It is broad-based. It is in all four caucuses. And for that reason, we really hope and urge you to do exactly what the good Representative Reardon and Representative Smith have urged you to do, which is move this framework for an investment down to Ways and Means, and then let the powers that be look for the kinds of sources and the amount of revenue that we really believe our students, our industries, and frankly, the state of Oregon will all benefit from. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Steeman.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Varner Seaman. I'm here representing Portland General Electric today. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. For us, STEM and career tech education are kind of two sides to a coin. We understand that if kids get into the classroom and start tinkering and start doing things, start working with their hands a little bit, some of those folks may go into a career tech type field. Some folks may go on and pursue an advanced engineering degree. We just don't know, but if kids don't have the opportunity to start to tinker and to start to experiment with some different styles of learning, they likely won't start to look at exploring some of these options if they don't have those opportunities. So we don't necessarily think of CTE and STEM as different. We see it really as a continuum. And one of the things that's good about this bill is it really talks about both career tech and STEM and talks about programs together. As I was in some of the work group meetings where we're working with Representative Reardon, Representative Smith, and I thought it was a pretty productive conversation where both STEM folks and CTE folks were together talking about priorities. The reason why Portland General Electric is in particular concerned about career tech and STEM is a pretty basic self-interested one. As we look at our workforce, roughly 54% of our skilled trades are eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. For our CTE and STEM portion of our workforce, those folks average a salary of over $80,000 a year. These are not just good-paying jobs, but these are critical jobs for the future of the Oregon economy. And I think that there's a question, as the gentlemen on both sides of me have talked about, state of Washington to the north is spending an order of magnitude more than the state of Oregon in terms of training this future workforce. And we think we'll be able to find these workers to replace the people who are going to be going on to retirement. The question is, are they going to be Oregonians that we're going to be replacing them with, or are they going to be folks that we're bringing in from other states? While the people that we have that are coming through Oregon schools are struggling to find opportunities and not able to fill these very high-wage jobs. So for us, we also know that CTE and STEM education have a beneficial effect on high school graduation utilization rates, where we rank, where we do in the state. We think making these investments both give us this workforce, improve the opportunities for our kids coming up out of Oregon schools, and overall help our graduation rates. We are supportive of 129-4 on gain share. We think that that's a pretty solid way to go forward. And at the bottom line, though, for us is this is too much of an opportunity for the state not to find a way to fund career tech and gain share at an appropriate level. We don't think the work we've been doing so far gets us there. And we think this bill, though, is a good step forward. And I just very much want to thank Representative Reardon, Representative Smith, and Representative Senator Denbrough for their work on this issue. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the panel? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. Kyle Richie Knoll and Craig Hudson. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Kyle Richie Knoll, and I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon CTE STEM Employer Coalition. We're a coalition of 51 employers so far and still growing as employers learn about it, and a number of labor and business organizations and nonprofits. And we've come together over the last year or so to really look at pulling together CTE and STEM in an aligned agenda. Employers really see these sets of skills along a continuum. We know that we very often looked at them in silos. And really, when you look at what's needed in terms of the workforce, it's really a continuum of skills. And so we work to come together and look at a connecting education to careers agenda. As we've heard from a number of folks, there are so many positions that are going unfilled in our economy. STEM and CTE positions are expected to double over the next decade. And you'll hear from several of our coalition members today about the positions that they have in their own companies that are going unfilled. There is a significant talent gap. And when you look at students in poverty or students of color, that gap gets even wider. And so we believe that these investments will make a difference in helping to provide those opportunities for students and prepare Oregonians for those careers. We know that this gap is costly to our businesses, it's costly to our economy, and it really does present a lost opportunity for many Oregonians to put them on a path from poverty to prosperity. In our coalition has set a goal of doubling the number of students who are proficient and prepared for CTE and STEM careers. In 2012, Echo Northwest prepared a report for us that estimated if we meet that goal, it will yield significant dividends. We will add about $9 billion more in personal income to the state's economy, and we would be able to close the income gap between Oregon and the U.S. by about two-thirds. So these are important investments. And we think in order to do it, we'll really need to break down the barriers that exist right now between classroom and out-of-school learning, between academic and applied learning. Stop thinking about them as different things, but really bring them together, and between education and employers. We're committed to be there and to be partners. So we just urge your support for this bill, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Hudson.
Good afternoon, committee. My name is Craig Hudson. I work for Garmin here in Salem. Garmin is a company of about 10,000 people worldwide. We have 550 here in Salem. I think that goes to speak greatly about the kinds of jobs that are available for Oregonians. We'd like to bring more Oregonians to work. We'd like to see them involved in our kind of businesses. I think we're here today talking about kids and really the funding that goes behind getting kids trained for jobs. I think it's a very important part of our jobs is to try and prepare those kids, prepare those kids for jobs. CTE and STEM is a continuum. PGE mentioned it's kind of one coin where STEM is one side and CTE is the other. Maybe a coin of infinite value, though. in that that's our capital that we're looking at, how our kids go to work and how they prepare for the future. So aligned investments in CTE and STEM are critical. Getting kids hands-on with careers in the classroom as they're working their way through school is very important. I was a school board member. I was a robotics coach. These are the kind of things that I saw get kids real excited. And from there, they went on to prosper, some at Oregon State or Oregon Tech and other higher ed institutions. I think kids knowing about careers is part of our problem. They don't even know some of the jobs are available. The kinds of jobs that I have inside my facility range from manufacturing to engineering, and most of them require a bachelor of science degree. But the education institutions only provide a small glimpse into electrical engineering or mechanical engineering, where we have all kinds of facets of different types of careers that wrap around those two or three disciplines. And then my second point is competitiveness and growth. I mentioned that Garmin is 10,000 people worldwide, but a small fraction, 500, 550 of us are here in town. And I wonder if we had a stronger workforce, if we would have stronger companies and more companies here kind of, you know, adding to the state's economy. So Garmin has had a strong relationship with MECOP. MECOP is a cooperative education internship program through Oregon Tech and Portland State, Oregon State and now Portland, University of Portland, pardon me. And we hire a lot of those students. We bring a lot of them in. A lot of our best hires, new hires, come out of the Oregon University system. And it's really a question of how many of them are available. I'm in competition with a lot of my fellow companies that are looking for hiring those same people that I want to hire. So again, in closing, I really want to impress upon you the importance of continued and stable funding, and really CTE and STEM, it is one coin, a very invaluable coin, because it is our future, and we need to spend that carefully.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions of the panelists? Okay, thank you so very much. I know I've got a great nephew in Seattle area, and his favorite class in middle school is welding, and that's something that unfortunately we don't have in a lot of our schools, period.
That's true.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Eric Meslow, Beth Cook, and Brian Krieg.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Beth Cook, and I have the privilege of speaking to you today on behalf of both United Food and Commercial Workers Local 555 and the Technology Association of Oregon. UFCW is Oregon's largest private sector union, and we have over 20,000 members in Oregon and Southwest Washington. The Technology Association has over 300 member companies from throughout Oregon. I'm here today to urge you to support these efforts for funding for CTE and STEM education. I'm also, as an aside, a former employee of a STEM program. I worked for Saturday Academy right out of college, and so I have seen directly firsthand the impact that these programs have on children's lives and our workforce. TAO and UFCW both support state policy changes and investments for math, science, and technical education that connect to well-paying jobs and careers. As you've already heard, the current talent shortage really is industry's most critical issue, and it threatens our long-term growth and development within Oregon. Oregon's technology industry alone currently has thousands of job openings, and we feel that we must address our future talent needs. These are skilled family wage jobs. These are jobs that, with being able to fill them, we can. They're either going unfilled or being filled, as you've already heard, by out-of-state applicants. I have companies that are doubling in size every 6 months in the startup fields that are recruiting 85% of their workforce from out of state. And these CEOs want to be hiring Oregon talent. They want to be filling these jobs with children coming out of our schools. This is costly to our enterprises, our economy, and our tax base and our citizens when these jobs go unfilled or if they're outsourced out of state. We urge your support of investment in programs to support CT and STEM education and for House Bill 3072 and the -2 amendments. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brian Krieg. I am here representing the IBEW, the UA 290 Plumbers, the Sheet Metal Workers of Local 16. This is an important issue for labor in the future in that our workforce is aging and we're going to need to be replacing them. For the record, I'll also note that I am the current co-chair of the CTE Grant Revitalization Program. The framework in front of you is the effort of many hours, many groups, many different gatherings of educators, business, and industry. Representative Reardon probably went to about 25% of the meetings with me on this, but there was a lot, and I think that this has really shaped this into one vehicle, and it's great. I'm really hoping that you're going to send this to Ways and Means with a solid round of support for it today so that the serious discussions can happen, because we look at high school graduation rates. CTE students with good concentration in it graduate at significantly higher levels than what we are graduating in the state of Oregon. The same numbers translate up across the nation. CTE does a lot to keep kids in school and active and interested in it who learn maybe a little differently. They need that experiential help. Better job opportunities and long-term income. CTE students and STEM students definitely have it. That, of course, then relates to income for the state, tax base, better place, bringing even more jobs in later. Then we look at the issue. If you really look at it in a big context, if you're putting these kids through the CTE programs, which, yes, they're more expensive at first up front, what we're going to have in later bits is less costs on health care, social services, corrections, many other problems that you are all grappling with right now. This is kind of like the roof of the house. You can keep fixing the rug and other things through it that are having a problem, but you've got to get to the roof and patch the hole up there. It just has to happen. So if we're concerned about graduation rates and we want the kids to have pathways and careers and to lower some of our costs, CTE is the important thing. I agree with everything that's been said before, and just needing to note that leadership is about the big picture. This is a big picture issue. Thank you.
Sir? Chair Doherty, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Eric Meslow. I'm a business owner in Tualatin, Oregon. I also sit as the chair of the Engineering Technology Industry Council, ETIC. I also sit on the board of directors for Oregon Inc., as well as the STEM Investment Council, the CTE STEM Investment Coalition, the board of TAO, as well as the board of the Pacific Northwest Defense Coalition. So you might guess that I am in support of House Bill 3072, the -2 amendments. I've spent the better part of the last 8 years working those committees on this very particular issue. It is fascinating to me, being on the advocacy committee of most of these organizations, that the number one concern that they have is about education. It's not about business taxes. It's not about the state of the roads. It is about pipeline of talent. And therefore, all these organizations have been working on this issue for years. ETIC was formed in 1997 to deal with the last time the state of Oregon was dealing with a huge shortage in talent, and it made over $150 million in investments into the engineering and computer science programs across the state of Oregon. And it's dramatically increased the number of graduates that are being produced by the Oregon University System to meet those needs. However, as you heard just from my colleague to the left, those needs are still, even though they're producing a great number of graduates, there are more jobs than there are graduates at this time. Ultimately, if you look at the common thread here between STEM, CTE, it is about opportunities for Oregonians. It is about the middle 40 and the upper 40 equally. But without exposure of in the pipeline, in middle school, high school ages, kids don't know what their opportunities are. One of the things that struck me in a recent interview with a bunch of engineering students at Oregon State University, the only exposure they have to engineering-type degrees and programs is in Legos. It used to be, if you asked that question of someone of my generation who went through the high school level in the 70s and the 80s, the answer would have been shop classes. That's where a majority of your engineers came out of. Instead, today, it's one program that is funded out of a
bare budget bones that ultimately is producing most of the interest in advancing in mechanical and electrical engineering programs. So ultimately, to keep this brief, I strongly support House Bill 3072. It's been a tremendous amount of work over the years. It's coming to a head in this particular session. If we miss this session, I fear that we will not have opportunities in the future. This is the first time we've had a governor, a legislature, the industry, and the economy all kind of matching up on this issue. Usually one of those is out of sync, and therefore this does not progress. This year, we're very fortunate that that's the case, and I strongly encourage your support.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of this panel? Okay, thank you very much. Those are all the people we had signed up for House Bill 3072. So with that, I will close the public hearing on 3072, and I will open up a work session on House Bill 3072.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -2 amendments to House Bill 3072, dated April 16th, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the -2 amendments to House Bill 3072, dated April 16th, 2015. Is there any discussion? Okay, is there any objection?
Okay, I just have to say, say thank you to all the people that came up to testify. These are the same, some of them are the same people that have been, trudging the state, drumming up support for CTE and STEM, and having vital discussions about what will work and why it's important, and helping bring this support together. I know Brian Krieg has been working on this for at least three sessions. He's been with the revitalization grants all of that time. John Rakowitz, another trooper, and I see department people out there. Laura Roach hiding in the back there, but she's out there working on this, and Mark Lewis. And it's just everybody, and Kyle Richie Knowles, of course, but everybody coming together because it's so important, it's so vital, and, whatever else people might disagree on, this they come together on.
So I take it that's not an objection to the amendment?
That's not an objection. I think I might support it.
Okay, very good.
Wait and see when they call roll.
That's right. Seeing no objection, the amendment is passed, adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3072 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3072 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Could a clerk read the roll, please?
Representative Bretta.
Aye.
Representative Hack.
Aye.
Representative McLean.
Aye.
Representative Peluso.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Doherty.
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes. And I close the work session on House Bill 3072. And I open up a work session on 2061. How about 2016?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2016 was heard in committee on Friday. It directs the Oregon Department of Education to develop and implement statewide education plans for educationally disadvantaged youth. And the committee has been asked to move the measure to the Committee on Rules.
Okay.
Chair Doherty, there was an amendment to this particular bill.
Which one? Is
this included in this motion?
I can speak to that.
Okay.
They're working on the amendment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why we're asking that it go to rules so we can finish all
thank
that.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's what I needed.
Okay.
Well, Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 2016 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Okay. Representative Frederick moves House Bill 2016 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative
Pack?
Aye. Representative
Blaine?
Aye.
Representative Puzo?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Bretta?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, the motion passes and the measure is sent to the Committee on Rules. So with that, I close the work session on House Bill 2016. And open up a work session on House Bill 3166.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3166 does a number of things. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 3 amendments, which replace the measure. They require that the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, the TSPC, administer a pilot program for the purpose of identifying non-core courses and alternative authorization requirements. The measure details the requirements of the pilot program and requires the TSPC to submit to the Legislative Assembly a preliminary report on the program no later than September 15th, 2018. And a final report no later than September 15th, 2020. The measure is sunsetted on December 31st, 2020. It declares an emergency effective on passage.
Okay. Would you like to speak to the amendment at all? Or?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. So just a couple things on this. You remember we heard from a superintendent in Baker last week, Baker City, on this. Went to work with some amendments to just tighten some pieces, some reporting pieces, and made it a pilot project program for up to three participating districts, and I believe the number is up to 3,500 ADM, if I remember. The only difference between the Dash 2s, yes, 3,500 or less, the only difference between the Dash 2s and the Dash 3s was actually a typo that said on the board there be at least seven people, and boards can get very large and unmanageable. It should have been no more than seven. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Dash 3s do. I certainly encourage an aye vote on that.
Yeah, so the content of the bill is still the same except for that one tweak. Okay.
Chair Daugherty, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3166 as presented.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3166 as presented. Is there any discussion? Representative McLean.
Well, I think this is on the Dash 3. Mm-hmm. Okay, then
yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion? If not, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Daugherty, I move House Bill 3166 to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3166 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Representative McLean.
Madam Chair, I'm very supportive of this concept, and I'm glad that it's going to be a pilot program and not, you know, something that we just let out there full bore for the whole state. I think that there were some comments that were made when we heard the public hearing last time that we want to make sure that we are really dealing with folks who cannot get their certification through our licensing commission, because there are many people out there that could fill some of these types of jobs but may also have a teaching license but went into the private, you know, actually went into a private career and may be able to function in both worlds at the same time. And then there also are folks out there that are real specialists, and I think this pilot program and folks who have never been teachers, and I think this pilot program will assist in helping us get some really good personnel to help with some very important CTC types of classes and some really good work, you know, hands-on types of teaching. Mm-hmm. But I want us to move slowly, because I think it's important also to really, if it's a pilot project, to really look at it when it comes back to us. And I'm hoping that as we see the report and as we see how it works, that we'll be able to see where the strengths and weaknesses of this approach might be.
And one thing, just with our conversation, I know that Director Chamberlain of TSPC had some great ideas to work on licensure and dealing with the situation that we have. So there are a lot of cooperation with everybody. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, seen none. Will the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Moretto?
Aye.
Representative Hatt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Daugherty?
Aye. Okay. With that, the motion passes. Was that a motion or amendment?
That was the amendment, wasn't it?
Okay.
We
had everyone do this twice, so okay. There's the amendment. So now we'll go to a real roll call.
Wait. Okay. I thought that was the motion. Never mind. Chair Daugherty, I move House Bill 3166 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. We like this bill so much that if we did this before, we will. Frederick moves House Bill 3166 of the floor is amended with a due pass recommendation that will be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just briefly, I see this has a fiscal light statement on it, so that's why it's going to Ways and Means. I admit I don't know that that's absolutely necessary, but certainly I'll be watching this down in Ways and Means Ed Sub, and because I just don't see how this bill is costing a lot to do.
Okay. And if we haven't done this already...
No, it's just 3166.
Any other discussion? There. Seeing none, if we haven't done this already, will the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative McLean.
Aye.
Representative Polito.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Hack.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Doherty.
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes. Okay, and I close the work session on House Bill 3166 and open up a work session on House Bill 3339.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3339, the committee has been asked to consider the Dash 2 amendments. The Dash 2s replace the measure. They require the Secretary of State to conduct an audit related to the TSPC, the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. They detail the audit requirements. They require the Secretary of State to report the audit results no later than September 15, 2015, and declare an emergency effective on passage.
Okay, so basically this was a gut and stuff. That's what the amendment outreach. So.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3339, dated April 17, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3339, dated April 17, 2015. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize the Secretary of State is our official auditing division in the state. We've sent a couple, this is, I think, the second bill we've sent to them related to education. And I would just caution us, at least myself, as we look at this, I sometimes do question an audit of educational practices by a totally disconnected auditing firm, if you will. But I am anxious to see what they have to say about this, and we'll be paying particular attention to the licensing and educator oversight responsibilities.
Okay, thank you. I'd also like to add one thing that the originator of the bill said that the date that we have in the amendment of September for the report probably will be changed in the Senate, and it would be a later date. So I wanted to make that clear. Okay. Any other discussion? Representative McLean?
Thank you, sir.
Well, I wanted to thank Representative Springer for her comments, because I usually, that's where I start my foundational look at something, is you've got to have people who understand the area to be the ones that look at it, especially when it's a program. Mm. But I do believe that there are enough issues here with changing licenses and, you know, with some business model aspects of the program and also some delivery aspects of the program, that this might be just a really good time to get that type of a look before we go back and see what we feel we need to do to really continue the improvement of education in the state of Oregon. Okay. So I'm happy to vote yes on this.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In looking at the amendment, are we having ODE be any part of the Secretary of State's evaluation?
No.
No. Not on this one.
No. The Representative Johnson wanted this to be strictly an audit right now.
Okay,
so no. Okay, any other questions? Okay, seeing none. Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3339 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3339 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Tia, could you read the roll, please?
Representative Peluso.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Hack.
Aye.
Representative McLean.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Doherty.
Aye. Okay, the motion passes. And the carrier will be Representative Johnson on this bill. Okay, with that, I close the work session on House Bill 3339 and open up a work session on House Bill 3384.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3384 was last considered by the committee on the 8th. It creates an income tax credit for unreimbursed expenses of teachers and adjunct instructors. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2015.
Okay. Thank
you. And it contains a subsequent referral to the committee on revenue.
Thank you.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3384 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3384 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Could the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Hatt?
Aye.
Representative
McClain?
Aye.
Representative
Peluso?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that motion carries, it will be sent to the Committee on Revenue. Okay, so I close the work session on, we're moving right along. We close the work session on House Bill 3384 and open up a work session on House Bill 3493.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3493, the committee has been asked to consider the Dash 2. So the introduced measure provides that the Superintendent of Public Instruction and State Board of Ed may not make or authorize calculations related to aggregate days membership and weighted ADM, except as specified by statute. The Dash 2s specify exemptions for students enrolled in half-time programs, specified alternative ed programs, or for students receiving tutorial instruction. They further allow exemptions for existing rules and statutes.
Okay.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3493, dated April 15th, 2015.
Okay. Representative Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3493, dated April 15th, 2015. Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to refresh my memory, it's been a little bit now. This was referred to as the 10th bill that the Department of, or not the Department, but the State Board of Education was considering as far as funding.
Madam Chair, Representative Springer, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Well, I think this was one of the amendments that I didn't get until I got here. Is that right? Madam Chair, mm-hmm. I just want to make sure. When we heard the testimony before, it was, you know, these little 0.5 days, and so the amendments does away with that or not?
We should stand at ease for Rep. Leininger to talk about it.
Why don't we stand at ease for a few minutes? We texted Rep. Leininger to come down and talk to her bill, and she's not here, so we will stand at ease for a few minutes. Did I undo us?
Yeah.
Okay, we're no longer at ease. We're now tense. So, anyway.
Okay,
thank
Chair,
you.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, thank you so much for hearing us today. I'm Ann Leininger, representative from House District 38. I'm grateful for the opportunity to express how important I think the bill is and a referral to the Revenue Committee so that it can continue to be worked is so that we can do the main goal of the bill, which is to ensure that the legislature retains its appropriate place as the policymaker regarding education decisions, and I think that that's the intention of the bill. And there's been a lot of work to incorporate input from other stakeholders. And Lori Wimmer, who's here with me, can speak specifically to the elements that are reflected in the Dash 2 amendments.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, committee members, for your record, Lori Wimmer representing the Oregon Education Association. It's 42,000 members. Thank you so much for hearing this, and we hope that you will pass the Dash 2s. What we testified to when we first introduced this, brought this bill forward, is our intent, as expressed by the representative who is the sponsor. The Department of Education had raised some issues of concern about how it mechanically was written, so we drafted the Dash 1s originally to address those concerns, and then at the hearing they told us that they had additional concerns. The Dash 2s are meant to address their additional concerns, and so, and I just heard that they have still more, and so we are happy to make sure we get this exactly right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the panel? Okay, thank you. Okay, we're still on discussing amendments. Are there any? Is there any further discussion? Are there any amendments? I mean, as seeing no objection, the amendments are passed.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3493 as amended and without recommendation to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3493 as amended and without recommendation to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Is there discussion? Ms. Springer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just a brief comment on this, the intent of this bill, which I find frankly a little unusual, that we're looking at a bill to prevent the State Board of Education for adjusting a mechanism of how schools are funded. This committee doesn't do that. Education committees don't do that. That's a revenue committee job. And whether we like that or not, that is how it's established. And so I wasn't comfortable with the Department of Ed tweaking this. I think this is the legislature's responsibility. So I'm glad to see this. I happily support moving it on to revenue where these discussions appropriately take place.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, could the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Representative
Plank?
Aye.
Representative
Palooza?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Barreto?
Yes.
Vice Chair
Singer?
Aye.
Chair
Doherty?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the motion passes, and I also will close the work session on House Bill 3493 and open up a public hearing on House Bill 3536.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3536 prohibits the State Board of Education from adopting rules or imposing sanctions related to the use of mascots by public schools. It declares an emergency effective on passage.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have Representative Springer, and then we have one person signed up to speak. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sherry Springer, State Representative for House District 17. I can't help but find it interesting that we're hearing this bill right now on the heels of the last bill, which was to talk about the role and the authority of the State Board of Education. So as a very, very brief introduction on how this bill gets here today, because this is not the conversation about mascots. I know there's strong feelings about that. That has had, I can't tell you this many at this point how many hearings it's had, either at the State Board of Education level, the House level, and the Senate level. A lot. And there's a lot of valid concerns. Absolutely. Today's bill talks about authority and who has authority. So, very briefly, in 2012, February, the State Board of Education passed a rule to ban all use of Native American mascots. At that time, the legislature was in session. I frankly hadn't even heard about it. And they did what I consider a very unique thing. If you don't comply with the law, we take your state funding. That's a pretty heavy hammer. So one of my biggest concerns at that point was the tribes, our 9 federally recognized tribes that are sovereign governments in this state that we have relationships with, government-to-government relationships with, were not consulted on this bill. And so I drafted a bill. It died in 2013. That's okay. I think maybe possibly a better version passed. In 2014, passed the House, passed the Senate, signed by the governor. A lot of compromise in the bill from lots of people. And that bill simply said, as the original intent was, if a local school district and a local tribe and a school district agree on the use of the mascots,
and come to an agreement, they could get a waiver from the State Board of Education. This bill in 2014 stipulated that rulemaking authority would go back to the State Board of Education to establish what the parameters were, the boundaries, what those agreements looked like. And they would have a, so there was a work group. It met twice, the better part of half a day, better part of a day each time. It was not an invite only. It was pretty open, and we had actually different people show up to the second one than we'd had at the first one. I was certainly at both of them. And that work group came to an agreement and proposed some rules to the State Board of Education to describe how those agreements would be used. Actually, before those rules arrived at the State Board of Education, they'd actually been dialed down a little bit, in my opinion, from what was recommended, and quite a bit. And so, frankly, the State Board has yet to act on these rules, and it was made very clear in the conversations in March that they still were not comfortable or okay with the concept of the use of these mascots. I'd remind you that the legislature passed a law and the governor signed it, so there was a law. In this time, since this law was passed in March of 2014, I made a commitment on the record, I have no idea how many times, that I would travel every single one of the schools that were engaged in this process. I think it started at 16. One school, for other reasons, said we're not even going to go down this road. We're totally changing. Didn't visit that school. So I believe it was 15 all over the state. And my message was, this is not about your gym floor, and this is not about the emblem on your jersey or your football helmet. This is about building real relationships with your local tribes. This is about learning our local heritage, not just Navajo and Cherokee and Plains Indians and different things, at least I remember learning in my history books, and it's certainly stuff my son was learning in the history books. And this was about an authentic relationship. It wasn't about the emblems. And if there were inappropriate uses, which I didn't have one come forward, there have been horrendous stories in years past that are rather sickening. But this was about relationship building. So I traveled all those schools. I won't tell you how many thousands. I don't know how many thousands of miles I logged, frankly. And I went to work on that, going to school board meetings, which is pretty tough when you have school board meetings that typically meet Tuesday nights or Thursday nights to hit all of these. Spent several months doing it, but I completed that task. And while I completed that task, the committee had yet to even be assembled to come together and have this discussion but through ODE and the State Board of Education. Yet I traveled thousands of miles and had those conversations that this is not about your gym floor. I'm not really interested in gym floors. So I thought, well, that's a little odd. When I started the meetings and I would go out and many districts would say, do you think this is going to work out? And I said, this is what we have, so let's work to make this work out. And then I'd received the question, do you think the State Board's going to drag their feet? I said, no, don't think so. What benefit is there in that? Well, by the time I was visiting my last two school districts, and there hadn't yet been a work group even named or invited or a date set, I don't know. And I did become concerned. But a work group was, you may hear that reaching out to the tribes, put a lot of effort into reaching out to the tribes, which is a really good thing, really good thing. Would have been a really good thing to do in the beginning. And so I'm glad that piece took place. So in the March meeting, obviously there was a lot of conversation about still not liking the concept. Got a conversation from one of the schools, athletic director, 2 weeks ago now. And he said, where are we at? This goes into effect 2017. So we're coming up against the timeline here. And the timeline that says if you've not eliminated all imagery and most all names, and if there's a question about that, I can articulate that piece for you. If those have not been eliminated, you'll lose your state funds. So he said, where are we at? You know, he says, I've dragged my feet now for 3 years. Where are we at? And I said, get rid of the imagery in your gym floor. It's that simple. Just get rid of it. And so they are. This bill to me, and Madam Chair, thank you for allowing this hearing. I appreciate it. This bill is not about mascots. That there was a law passed. This bill is about who has authority to make law in this state. And I would suggest that oftentimes the state board does that through rulemaking. And rulemaking is just as binding. This was a rule that was initially passed in 2012. And we just passed a bill to define who has the authority. And we kept that authority with the legislature. Because the legislature is the elected body. The legislature has some built-in checks and balances. You have a House, you have a Senate, and you have a governor. And I would argue that checks and balance process worked because the first time you had very little conversation on the Senate side, the bill moved through. You had more conversation on the House side, it did move through. And you had a governor that said no. And I'd say it worked. I disagreed with the governor, but I'd say the process worked. Go back at another try, compromise, and you have a different outcome. This is about urging the State Board of Education to move forward, and I'm sure you're going to hear that they plan on it. But in knowing what was discussed in March, it didn't sound that way to me, frankly. And it's time to move forward on this to give districts certainty. And address if there are inappropriate uses. I'll tell you that I haven't had somebody tell me in the interim that somebody is running out on the field in costumes. I would hope that maybe that is in part. Number one, I don't know. I hadn't heard of it occurring in recent years. I'd hope that was in part me going around to schools saying, don't do that kind of stuff. That's not respectful. That's not what we want. So again, Madam Chair, thank you for this hearing. I certainly appreciate it. I just want to leave with one thought. This is about who has authority to make law in this state. And it certainly felt like legislative body and the governor made a law and now is negotiating with an appointed body the implementation of that law. I don't know if that's a road we want to go down. I'm not saying there isn't a role for the State Board of Education. I'm just saying a law was passed, and we need to honor that. And I am going to use this opportunity. A lot of things have been said over the last 3 years regarding this issue. And one of the most disturbing ones was I was only doing this for my son. Because my son's 11 and Moyer. My son is graduating in less than 2 months as 11 and Moyer. This hasn't impacted him. This hasn't changed things for him. This is about the other kids. This is about down the road. This is not about Austin Springer. This is not why I took this battle on. I took this battle on for two reasons. Number one, a large contingency of my constituents saying I want you to, and I work for them. And I'm one of the elected people that works for them. And number two, this has been the best opportunity I have seen in multiple districts in years that don't have a lot of diversity to have good and right conversations about diversity.
Yes.
And that's something that I treasure in my district. Just aren't a real diverse population, and darn it, I wish we were. But this has changed the dialogue. I had a grandpa call me, gets very uptight and irate about a totally separate issue and rants all the time. He called me and he says, as important as that issue is to me, this issue's more important. He says, my granddaughter is a Quarter Indian. I don't remember the tribe that he mentioned. It isn't a local one. He said these have been the best conversations. That's his responsibility and the family's responsibility, but these are the best conversations she's had in school in years, and I love it and keep fighting the battle. So, again, Madam Chair, thank you.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
the
you.
Opportunity. And certainly I'll take questions. If
Any
you have
questions
them.
For Representative Springer? I have one. So basically what this is there is a framework there, but it's been far too long before a decision has been made on that framework. So we are encouraging the Department of State Board to make a decision and make a decision.
Yeah, quick as passed. Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick as passed. Make a decision.
Okay.
And they were charged with adopting rules. I'm not going to debate which rules, but they were charged with adopting rules.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. We have one person signed up, and we've got the ODE here. We've got the tribes here if somebody else also wants to speak. But we have Jennifer Walter. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I, like two members of your committee, am a graduate of Lebanon High School. And I know both.
Yeah, and if you got to make sure you identify yourself for
my
the
name
record.
Is Jennifer Walter.
Thank you.
And Representative Springer led the Lebanon School Board through a particular difficult time, and she did that with composure, compassion, and
ibuprofen.
And maybe a little something else. Representative Barreto, I went to high school with him, and he lived around the corner of River Road from me. And in fact, I live right next door to your pump now.
And I picked filberts in your orchard.
Okay.
It's a small state.
it's a small road. And the Barrettos were a family of modest wealth, but they were a family with incredible work ethic and of integrity. And I wish your parents were here to see you today.
Thank you.
So, why should you listen to me? I'm a Lebanon High School graduate. I'm a retired teacher from the Lebanon School District. Before I was a teacher, I was an attorney for 20 years in Washington, D.C. I educated myself about racial discrimination in Oregon, and I educated myself about the Indian mascot issue. So, I'm opposed to Indian mascots because they perpetuate stereotypes and racial discrimination against all minority groups. Because Oregon has a long history of racial discrimination. Because Lebanon, like quite a few small towns in Oregon, was a sundown town with a city ordinance that forbade African Americans from staying in the town overnight. And because as a teacher, I witnessed hostility towards minority students, even though Lebanon teachers tried to prevent it. I am opposed to 3536 because it is not a good precedent to start carving out exceptions to jurisdictional authority. And in February of 2014, you gave the State Board of Education jurisdictional authority to make rules, which they're in the process of doing. And I think that the State Board of Education has some expertise on the subject. Now, I think there's two fundamental flaws in the bill that you passed last year. First, there's a group of stakeholders who are left out of this process. They have no opportunity to voice their position. And that's the Native American Oregonians who belong to tribes other than the tribes that are located inside the boundaries of Oregon. And those tribes outside of Oregon and groups of Native Americans from outside of Oregon have had a huge voice against the continuation of Native American mascots. There's no opportunity, as I said, there's no process for the stakeholders of non-Oregon tribe members who are Oregonians. And there were two women who came to the March meeting. I attended the March State Board of Education meeting. And there were two women who were very articulate about why they are opposed to the continuation of Indian mascots. So I think the fact that your law does not provide them a voice is a flaw, and I think it's a fatal flaw. I don't think it's right to do that to Oregonians. Second, singling out Indian mascots and not applying the rule to any other group, I believe, is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the Oregon Constitution and the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. I believe that's why the state board members are having difficulty figuring out how to make a rule that works, because they are responding to that higher calling to apply the constitutions of this country and the state. And part of the way that can be fixed, you could say, is that they are limiting under the proposed rule, saying that the mascot has to be identified as belonging to a particular Oregon tribe. And that in some way minimizes it, but I don't think it does enough. I don't think you can fix this by adding an education component, although I think it's great to have our students knowledgeable about Oregon tribes. However, because there is this pretty significant flaw or two flaws in this rule, I think you're going to end up in court. And once again, it's putting the Oregon Attorney General in a position to have to decide what kind of defense to give for what I feel is an undefensible position. And I also think, unfortunately, that the perceptions will be that once again, Oregon will get national exposure for being a place that is not friendly to people of color. So I urge you to reject House Bill 3536, and I also urge you to enact legislation banning Indian mascots in our state schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that was the only person signed up. Do we have anybody else that would like to speak on this issue? Okay, Mr. Martin? Okay, or before, any questions, excuse me, of Ms. Walter? I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's not a question, it's a statement. I hate correcting testimony, but I have to fix this piece. I did not graduate from Lebanon High School. I graduated from a high school, but I only went my freshman year at Lebanon High School.
Okay.
Just needed to clear that piece up.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions of Ms. Walter? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Martin?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Justin Martin, and I'm here today on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, where I'm also a tribal member. And I guess I would just like to say to the committee, without rehashing this, this has been a very difficult ordeal over the last couple sessions. We did resoundingly pass legislation that was unfortunately vetoed by the governor, but then we went back to the table, as Representative Springer said, worked out a solution, and then got into a rule-writing committee to further this along. As you know, Grand Ronde has always been in support of that. We are very proud to be known as Indians, warriors, braves, and chiefs. We will continue that fight, but we will also go about it in the unique way that Oregon has continued to go about these things in dealing with tribal governments and dealing with the government-to-government process. So we're very proud, even though we haven't really reached a resolution on this, of the fact that we will now have the opportunity to educate school districts that come to us wanting to continue to use that nickname. We're very proud that we will be able to turn the corner and utilize this as an educational opportunity to start teaching those students in those rural communities in which we're located what the tribes that were there for so long are all about. And so we continue to see this as an opportunity, not something to fight about. We look forward to continued discussions with the Board of Education. I think you probably will have something in your file folder on how that process is going, and just wanted the committee to know that we will continue to dedicate ourselves to a resolution of this problem in the government-to-government fashion that makes us so unique. So thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Actually, I have one question. So this legislation will not stop that process, because the process of the education and the state board meeting, all this, is already in place.
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that there will be action from the board at some point soon. So that's where we're at. We're hopeful.
Okay, thank you. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm pleased to hear that the sort of historical knowledge is being passed along in as many places as possible. I do want to speak to the fact that I have an estimated 30,000 folks in Portland alone that are Native American, and they come from about 300 different tribes. And the result that they are not necessarily coming from the designated tribes within the state of Oregon. And as a result, I get a very clear message from a great number of them saying that they are concerned not so much with the schools that are giving the information and getting the information to students about the history of the Native Americans in the state of Oregon or across the country, but from folks who, maybe not tribal members completely, but who feel as though they are disrespected, not necessarily in their own school, although sometimes in their own school, but also when their schools go and play other schools. And so this continues to be an issue, and I'm curious to see how the state board manages to handle that. I am very pleased. Representative Springer made it a major point of her efforts to make sure that that history was presented as part of anything going on in the state of Oregon, and I'm very pleased about that. I still remain concerned about the mascot issue as a result of the impact on students who are either in those schools or who are not in those schools and are not getting that kind of information. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Barreto?
Well, I'm a little confused, I guess. As far as what exactly does the bill do? I mean, it's written on top of another bill, and it says it may not adopt any rules related to the use of mascots. So just real...
Sure. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it was State Board of Education that initiated this process, and through their rulemaking process has instituted something that has the effect of law. And what this bill simply does is removes that authority from them to make rules regarding mascots, just not only Native American mascots, but mascots, because I wanted that to be inclusive. So it just removes rulemaking authority from them to make rules that are binding as law regarding mascots. That's it.
Gets them out of the picture.
Yes.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Those were the only people we had signed up. Anybody else out there? Okay, with that, I close the public hearing on House Bill 3536. And actually, with that finishes our business for today. And I know you guys will just be weeping tonight and tomorrow and the next day, but we are not going to be meeting on Wednesday or on Friday.
Oh, my. Really?
So I know. If you want to come in here on Wednesday just to sit, you are more than welcome, but we're not meeting on Wednesday or Friday.
Bless you.
Anything else? And with that, I adjourn the committee on... anything else? And with that, I adjourn the...